Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone together. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Aloha, my sister.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to another show. Hallelujah. Can I get a big, loud hallelujah from my audience?
Hallelujah!
All right. Thank y'all so much for your support and for coming. Really, truly, I would come and support you, too. Thank you so much. Yes, sound check, please. Shalom and blessings, beloved family. Familia, hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, bless you all the way in Georgia. Let's get a sound check.
Bless you, Sister Ashley, and shalom and blessings to all the daughters of Zion. I have the chat room pulled up. I see tens rolling in. It's good to see the greetings coming in. Bless you to the listening audience that you have with you. And I think we can go ahead and move forward when you're ready.
Hallelujah. Hey, Pentecost weekend, three more Sabbaths, 23 days remaining. I did the count, Jeff. I did it. She said, hallelujah. I'm always asking her for it. Pentecost weekend, three more Shabbats, and then I'll see some of you. Hallelujah. Thank you for calling in. I believe we've heard from almost every community. Hallelujah. Not many individuals on the list, just communities. It looks like a big community Pentecost for sure. Bless Yah. Father, you're worthy to be praised. We speak to the women, hallelujah, that you love tonight. Your hand has never been too short to give to us. All the day long, it's stretched out. God, this conversation tonight, bless his holy name, hallelujah. Thank you so much, listening audience, aged women, mothers of experience. Bless you all, mothers, children, wives, sisters, friends, communities, hallelujah. To my deacon, who never needs high fives, who never needs accolades or recognition or doesn't need anyone to know the works that he's doing behind the scenes. He's quiet. He's confident in his demeanor. I thank the Most High for him. He doesn't draw a lot of attention. He doesn't want his name called. Bless my master, Father. Hallelujah. To pastors home, most definitely blessings and greetings to them for their endurance. Glad they're home safely, for all their giving. To our pastor for providing the needs of so many people, and for storing up his works and his crown and glory. Hallelujah. To Brother Kabir's father, he's my elder. Most of you haven't met him, but I miss you. If you ever heard this, I miss you. I thank Carisha for letting me see him every once in a while through Polo. Elder sends his greetings and his shaloms to me, and I send mine to him. Built a small relationship with him when I went up to Green Bay, so he's always on my mind. I want to thank the Land Sisters for their dedication. We had a great week, productive week, kicking off the spring. Lots and lots of planting. Hundreds of plants are now in the ground. Kale, collards, cabbage, hallelujah, and as well as broccoli. Of course, the tomatoes are in. And lots of other happenings in the greenhouse. Special thank you to Carolina, who's up early every morning, out even when it's, you know, barely sunlight. Hallelujah. And Constance on the land knocking things out. Thank you, Sister Constance. Yeah, she's in the audience tonight stepping up. And she's been cleaning the sound room for a few weeks. She also does this. So bless her womb, bless her mind, her body, her everything. I thank the Father for family. I want to thank the listeners, all of you scattered wherever you are, for your time. I'd like to welcome Russia to our new listening audience. Can I get a shalom, Russia?
Shalom, Russia.
Hallelujah. Bless you, bless you. Thank you all. I'm glad that we're all able to speak one dialogue, English. Hallelujah. So that we're all able to communicate. Well, Mother Jennifer, please share your heart.
Yes, ma'am. I want to acknowledge and just give thanks and gratitude to the Most High for all that he does for us, his children, even the things that we don't recognize. He continually keeps us, continually looks out for us, continually guides us and leads us. I just want to just really acknowledge his long-suffering with us during this process of us being restored, and, you know, he does all things well when you think about it. And so I'm just so happy that his will is going forward and that it has nothing to do with our own will and that his ways are perfect and his ways are higher than our ways. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for just such an intricate part that he plays in the role of freeing, you know, freeing the people, especially the women, restoring the women, the minds, really understanding the mind of a woman, the battles of a woman, and really allowing them to be set free from the things of the past, being a man of understanding, a man of wisdom, and just such a an easy man to be able to reach. He's always available and there for the people. To give the guidance that they need. And finally, to our shepherd, you know, I think about Sister Ashley when we prepare for these shows and you hear the testimonies come in, and I think about when I first came into the faith and the character of our shepherd, you know, the character of Pastor Dow, how he's done nothing but grow more and more and more. I have not seen a backward shift in him at all. And so it really is an honor to be able to follow a man of integrity, a man who keeps his word, a man who is just solid in mind and in spirit, and a man who will follow Yah no matter what. So blessings to you, Pastor Dow, and thank you so much for your long suffering toward us, the people, and thank you for loving Yah no matter what. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Very good, very good acknowledgments. Bless you all again. Hey, can I announce the new PayPal, please? Send your offerings if you have them. Spread this information or just lock it into your mind if anybody asks you. Send your offerings to straightwaytruthministry@gmail.com through our new PayPal account. So it's straightwaytruthministry. It's all lowercase @gmail.com. You can use family and friends and minimize any deductions. Hallelujah. As Pastor had announced, you may want to just try it out. Send a dollar. See if it goes through, see if it works out for you. That's the new one. That's the new PayPal. Please get that in your mind and get any corrections from our former accounts. StraightwayTruthMinistry@gmail.com. Thank you to everyone's giving. Tonight we're going to talk about giving. My thoughts were kind of seemingly all over the place. You know, I had the thought of the poor are always with you. And then I jumped to, you know, give and it shall be given unto you. And then my mind goes to the time of need when you're the one who's receiving. So my mind was a little bit all over the place, but I know the show is going to come together. I'm going to share a lot of things and really pull in Mother Jennifer for a balance. Greetings to all the communities. Bless you all. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your time. Greetings to all the countries, hallelujah, that are listening. Did you have any announcements, Mother Jennifer, before we kick off our conversation?
Just if you have not called in your numbers for Pentecost, please do so. And that's it, Sister Ashley.
Absolutely. Hey, it's been a while since I did some, I ran down some news clips to you guys. So this is just for listening only, not for retaining at all. Just some stunning facts that maybe you're not aware of, just paying attention to some of the things going on in the world around us. There's a lot of food facilities that have burned down, right, Sister Constance? Right. Constance was helping me write them down right before the show. I'm going to run down this list. You guys are kind of going to be blown away, and we didn't even get them all. Okay, but this is all in the past 3 months, mainly. I think two of them in the past 5 months. But in 3 months in the United States, here they go. Shearer's Food in Hermiston, Oregon, burned down. Okay, by fire. Nestle Frozen Food in Jonesboro, Arkansas, burned down. Walmart Distribution in Plainfield, Indiana, burned down. Maricopa Food Pantry in Arizona, burned down. Rio Fresh in Texas, burned down. East Conway Beef and Pork, burned down. General Mills Fire in Georgia. Azure Standard Headquarters, burned down. Taylor Farms in Salina, California, burned down. Gem State Processing in Idaho, down to the ground. Van Drunen Farms in Illinois, Bonanza Meat Company in El Paso, Wisconsin River Meats in Wisconsin. The largest soybean plant in the United States is burned down. The potato plant in Washington is burned down. Nutrina Feed Mill has created food shortages for animals all around the world because it burned down. Amazing list, right? What's the odds in 3 months? I'm amazed at some of these facts because 14.6 million children receive food stamps a year already. 14.6 million children receive food stamps. If you didn't know, we are a preparedness ministry. Can I use the word preparedness? Sakina, do you prep?
Yep.
Your food store?
Yep.
Constance, do you?
Yes, ma'am.
Nadia, does your father?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. 14.6 million children receive food stamps, and as many as 37.2 million people are in poverty in the United States already in a huge time of inflation where the rich and poor are going to get more and more divided. So you have job losses, you have reductions in income happening, you have debt, major debt, credit card debt. Some of us know this. Some of us don't care or take the time to care or look outside of our own world. So anything can happen. Medical emergencies, illnesses resulting in medical debt, divorces, death of your loved ones, foreclosures on your home, literally any natural disaster, fire, etc. These things can happen. There's 214,000 homes foreclosed a year. 214,000 homes foreclosed a year. I assume there would be a larger number than that. I'm getting to the safe and the safety and the peace of how we abide, though. Okay, that's where we're going. But for now, there's 600,000 documented homeless individuals and families in the United States. 600,000 documented. You know there's more than that. So you have women raising children in this country in their spare time and with literally spare change. 12 million children are on the books for starving, found neglected. There is an unprecedented amount of mothers responsible for killing their own children. It's called filicide, literally a deliberate killing of your own children. Mothers are typically responsible for children killed during infancy. Fathers are more likely responsible for murdering their own children when they're aged, 8 and older. That's true facts in the United States. At least 450 children are murdered by their parents each year. Y'all already know 44% of children are or have suffered physical abuse. Approximately 750,000 registered sex offenders in the United States that we need to protect our children from on the streets, by the way. Our government wants your dependence. Our government wants your dependence. We're not banking on our government. Not in a straight way. We're just not. We pull together, we live set apart. We have a completely different standard. Hallelujah. We're not beggars. Nope. We're laborers. We're servants. We give all. Sometimes giving all truly is just giving all of yourself in prayer and trust, your money, whatever y'all lays on your heart, blessing one another. Tonight is what we're going to talk about. I know that we'll be very blessed as a people the more we give one to another. So I hope this inspires you, this conversation inspires you. There's a lot of giving that goes on within this ministry that won't be able to be talked about tonight because so many of you are doing it behind the scenes. I praise the Father for his spirit, laying those convictions upon your heart, doing what you're doing. It's not always money at all. Sometimes it's just your time, your servitude. You know, for women, it's cooking. You know, we make stuff for each other and share food, share plates. We're just different, Mother Jennifer. What say you?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. It's nice when the giving can be kept in Israel. It really is. You think about this world and you think about the setup of the world and the standard that they have. You know, they put goals out there that are just not attainable at all. When you look at, you know, what the American dream is, a big house that's going to put you in debt, a big vehicle that's going to put you in debt. Everything is created to put you in debt. And it's all for selfish gain, all for selfish reasons. It has nothing to do with anybody else but you. So no wonder the people are stressed out. No wonder the people can't cope. It's nice to really have the mindset of Yah living within the ministry, living within community, and being able to keep everything in Israel. Sister Ashley?
Hey, hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, the word in Luke 6 says, give it, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. I don't have a religious background or a Christian background or Christian influence at all. What I do have, of course, is a Western world influence and cultural experience that's just as traumatizing. But with your Christian experience or religious experience, come from the mind of the world with that verse, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down.
You know, the world standpoint, Sister Ashley, being in Christianity, it would always be for the people to give. But it was never given back unto the people. You know, I've heard that verse quoted so many times, but it was always just to really make the people feel bad to give. I remember being in I was raised in a Baptist church, and I can't tell you how many times there were collections taken up just for a new parking lot. From the time I was very young up until I had grown up and, you know, left on my own, they had collected money for a parking lot several times, and we never got the parking lot. And it was always just telling the people, you know, that they need, the church needs, we need, we need, we need. So give, 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 give. But the shall be given unto you part, I never saw it manifested at all. Sister Ashley?
Wow, that's a really good example, because here, of course, the giving is manifested really across the board in all communities. I'm going to read Sirach 40, and let's kick off first just with this in mind, Mother Jennifer, is the time of need. Because the time of need can come to us all. It really can. And for some of us, a time of need has already existed, of course, prior to the faith, a great time of need where you're either struggling financially or in an abusive relationship, just literally hopeless, helpless, and in need. Sirach 40 says, great travail is created for every man. A heavy yoke is upon the sons of Adam. From the day that they go out of their mother's womb till the day that they return to the mother of all things, their imagination of things to come, the day of their death, the trouble of their thoughts can cause fear of the heart. From him that sits on the throne of glory all the way unto him that is humbled in earth and ashes. From him that wears purple and a crown unto him that's clothed with a linen frock. Your appointed wrath, envy, trouble, unquietness, fear of death and anger, strife, and the time of rest upon his bed, his night sleep, does change his knowledge. It says little or nothing is his rest, and afterwards he's in his sleep, as in a day of keeping watch, troubled in the vision of his heart. But when all is safe, he wakens and marvels that fear was nothing. Such things happen unto all flesh, both man and beast. I've heard a lot of stories of past experiences. And actually, I was doing an interview that you guys are going to see live on our show in a few months to come. I was doing an interview, and I was actually interviewing some of our brethren, some NFL football players who have come from having money, right? Some of them had poverty before money, and then some of them now even coming to the faith and dealing with the loss. I was surprised to hear a story for the first time of a circumstance that a man went through in a great time of need where, you know, he was so forsaken. It just happens over and over that those that you depend upon forsake you. I had, you know, for most individuals, Mother Jennifer, prior to the faith, maybe you have a story where you were in great time of need and no one was there for you. I don't know. I'm going to ask you in a minute. For me, I definitely had those times over and over. I didn't have, and I'm coming from this mindset on purpose so that y'all know a little bit of the background of the speakers. It's not always been, a time of great money, riches, or any of that. I have come from a bag of microwave popcorn, stretching it out for 3 days, and that's all I had. And the next bag, the next 3 days. Didn't have a family. You know, I was constantly robbed. I lived in many different states. My car was robbed. My apartment was robbed. I had everything that I owned stripped out of my apartment. Everything I owned stripped out of my car. 2 apartments, 3 times in my car, 4 states. Okay? This is me going somewhere and not even knowing anybody. Just assuming that they're taking my car because, yes, it was nice, fully loaded Honda Accord. Got it all. Leather seats, sunroof, boom. Okay? At the time, very nice. Maybe it's looking like I got a lot in it. But everything I own was in it. And so I had a great time of need. And transitioning into the faith and, you know, scrapping your way through college, of course, yes, it was paid for. College athlete, didn't have to pay for anything. Didn't pay for my apartments, didn't pay for the clothes they gave us, didn't pay for the bus rides, the plane tickets, the games, the food, all that. But when it was time for seasonal changes, everybody goes home at Christmas. I ain't going home. I don't got family. I got nothing. Cafeteria shut down. Nothing. All right. Summertime, I already signed my name on a dotted line that says, you ain't working nowhere. You're not allowed to. You got to play here. You got to do this. But it was tough. So summertime, I had 3 months out of the year to work, to make money for the rest of my college experience or the next year. So in those 3 months, I'd pull 3 jobs. I was a welder. I was a retail manager. I got off one job, went to the next one, got off, you know, that one, went to the next one. I had 2.5 hours of sleep majority of that summer. But I'm stashing, you know, I'm stashing money. So I kind of giving you a basis of where I come from, trying to make a living, playing, you know, this game of life and this system, but also having nobody and knowing that you're all you have. And so now in the faith, I never, ever begged for bread. I've never been hungry. I've never been thirsty. And all my sisters behind me got the same testimony. They never had a day without having something, right, in the faith. Yah is truly a provider. He does it through his people. He does it through his men and through his leaders. I'm in awe, and I worship him for a provider now. When in times past, when you're doing it on your own, Yah wasn't in your thoughts, you know, but now in the faith, he's your provider. He's your all in all. Your flesh is completely dependent upon the natural manifestation of stuff, you know, food and raiment mainly. But, yeah, I'll give you a little bit of my background. And, Mother Jennifer, what hit your heart? Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, I can say that, you know, financially, I had the support that I needed financially. The area that lacked for me was more of the mental and spiritual support. You know, there were areas in my life where I was lacking, and I needed help. I needed guidance. I needed so much, but there was nobody that was around me that could minister to me the way that I needed it, because what I needed was the truth. I didn't know it at that time. You know, I thought I was following the truth. And so there was so much brokenness in me that needed to be healed, but there was no one that could provide that. You know, you would get people who would try to give you cliches and, you know, try to give you advice and try to give you what they call wisdom, but it wasn't anything that lasted because it wasn't rooted in righteousness. So it kind of was just, you know, the opposite for me. The financial support was there, but the mental, the spiritual was lacking. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. That's a really good point, Mother Jennifer. I'm glad for that input. I really am. And most definitely we're well-rounded here. You know, one mistake that we can make, of course, is wanting more out of the people than they can give. So, for example, when you mean wisdom and knowledge and guidance and answers to your questions, you got all that. And the moment you want them to give you more, Yah cuts you off. I'm your God, right? And then you'll just be stuck right where you are, praying, crying out, trying to reach him, right? Because we can't do it for you. So he's a God of perfect balance. I had to learn how to share. I'd never done that before. I definitely had to learn how to give. I had never truly done that before. You know, in the society that we live in and the way that we're all, you know, scattered and separated, you know, one family per house or even one single mom per apartment, et cetera, we're just so divided that coming together seems so foreign, you know, because you got to give to receive, you got to share. And you got to die out to so much when you come together. The Messiah said that the poor are always with you, or that the poor are with you always. And one thing that we do here at the community, or how we support families, whether they're in great need or not, is we share our food and our leftovers with anyone that we can, you know, within limitation. Because maybe everyone wants it all at once. They don't make it known. I'm just saying in general, like, hey, we pass out leftovers. We freeze leftovers. We got single brothers that my husband literally commands me to take care of. You know, we got extra food and it's filling the freezer, give it to them. Had a family that I blessed with a freezer clean out. Oh, my gosh, innumerable times. And don't hear my giving stories and not think that this is not happening everywhere, because it really is. You know, you're just listening to my giving stories because I'm the one talking. But truly, this is what Israel does for one another. And we give away food. We give of our time. We give away our homes, you know, week after week when we open up our doors and we're cleaning up the room and we're washing the sheets and we're opening our houses. The offlanders who have come from all around to sacrifice their lives, they do the same thing, open up their homes for people to stay. So we really got a great thing going, and I hope this will enlighten your minds. But with the poor that's with us, how do you view them? You know, how haughty is the Western mind towards the poor? Right? It's pretty haughty. But how do you give? That's the question. How do you give, and how can you give more, you know, of yourself? I'm not talking money, money, money tonight. I mean, and truly, how do you give to the people? How do you learn to give, even with the small substance that you might have? Or how do you take from your minimal and give to Yah's people? How do you do that? There is a way, because in that giving, it really satisfies your soul. There's something about how we've been created, right? It's a delight into our heart to give. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, one thing that I have learned about the giving of people is that when they first start to learn about giving, a lot of people will give based on conditions. They'll give based on what they feel, or if you meet this condition, I'll give this to you. If I feel like giving you this, then I'll give it. Where Yah's giving is completely, it's not based on any conditions. When we look at how Yah gives, and we look at how, you know, our shepherd, how he gives, there's no conditions at all. And that's exactly how we should be. But, you know, I understand everybody has to learn, but I have seen it many times that people give based on conditions. You know, if it's something that I don't really care for, then I'll give you this. I remember a while back when we first started this community, there was a family here, and they had, you know, clothing. They had things that they wanted to get rid of. And, you know, I remember we would have new people that would come in, and they had just started wearing skirts and head coverings, and they would need clothing. And it would amaze me how people would go through their closets, and they would give the thing that they didn't desire anymore. And that just really blew me away. And I remember, you know, just really talking to people and telling them when I give things that I like. You know, I don't give the things that I would no longer wear because it's unsightly. I give things that I like. So it's not based on a condition or anything. It's not that I'm refusing to part with something. I want to give you something that I would like because I believe that you would like it too. So we all should have that mindset. Sister Ashley?
Beautiful. I remember I remember Pastor giving to, I told the story a long time ago, I'm not going to repeat the whole thing, but Pastor gave some money to an African man that had came here. The African man he had never met, okay, he was from Sudan. He left because of the war. So he left his country, came over when he was in his 50, he was 15 or so. At this time, maybe he's late 20s, he comes to the ministry. He never met him. And the man shares his testimony and story of leaving his country. He walked, right, across three countries to get here and was literally a refugee. Pastor blessed him with money to give back to his mother that he hasn't seen since he was 15, to literally send back to Africa. Like you said, people clean out their closets. Mother Carol would clean out her closet for me. This is teaching me to give. You know what I mean? This is you're seeing it. You're witnessing it. Grandma Barb was constantly giving. Pastor would share his stories. Like, at times he would give a dollar bill to a little boy standing in line at the checkout, you know? So now I can do that, right? And I have. Pastor's paid my hospital bills. He gives to my husband monthly, I should say. You know, we received a house. It was built for my husband. And then, of course, we got bigger. We got a bigger house. Like, wow, it's very humbling. I'm very, very grateful. My house is very beautiful. He bought the boys' bikes. my sons. One of my things, Mother Jennifer, is like I'll say when my sons come home, here they come yesterday with a cheesecake. I'm like, who blessed you this time? You know, Mama Lily. They're like, did you say thank you? And, of course, Devin says, yes, I said thank you. That's in our speech, like, constantly, because for the first few, who gave you that peppermint, Grandma Vicky? Did you say thank you? No. Well, go give it back. Or put it right here and don't eat it yet. Or whatever, make them wait for it or something that I was trying to train them. But, for example, you got this cheesecake, and even my middle child was like, I didn't get a chance to say thank you, Mom. I wasn't there, like justifying himself, you know, because he knows it's a requirement. You give back, you say thanks. But Sirach 40:24 says, brethren and help are against the time of trouble. Brethren are against the time of trouble. Can you believe that? Like, yes, there literally might come a time of great need, and it's going to be brand new for some of you to be dependent in the faith or be a liability in the faith. But that's why we pull together, right? We're not teaching a beggar message, right, or a sluggard message. We're just saying, it says, when you will do good, know to who you do it to. Like, to do good to a godly man, right? Give to the godly man and help not a sinner, the word says. Don't help a sinner. Know who you're giving to. Know who you're showing your love to. Do well unto him that is lowly, Sirach 12:5. Give not to the ungodly. Give unto the good and help not a sinner. That's Sirach 12:5. But tonight we're going to read some emails and, hey, hopefully inspire some of you to, you're not here to visually see the giving that happens, you know, the giving of people's time every time we come together to do a project. You know, the giving of, there's a sister, she told me that she had given to a, she had given up her personal money to someone out of country. And I'm like, wow, right? It'd be like Tammy if I said, hey, Tammy, come live with me. I'm going to pay you $100 a month, okay? And she's like, okay, I'll come serve you, right? We work together. We live together. Then she takes that only money that she's got, and she gives it. That's what we do. We still do that. I had a testimony right before the show of a sister who said, in the very beginning, she's been with us a long time, many, many years. Get your emails ready, Mother Jennifer. She's been with us many, many years, and years ago, probably 9, 10, or maybe even more years ago, she would come when there was just a few starting to be added, and of course, our food was low, meaning, oh, we just cooked for this amount, and we got this amount that showed, right? And she was reminding me of a story, like, I completely forgot, but she was in awe that we actually didn't eat. If we ran low, we got nothing, and we were okay with that. We didn't eat. We didn't bum rush the table, take from the guests, right? We literally just didn't eat. I've had, you know, 6 days. I shared this to some friends today. I've had 6 day dinner days where, you know, we got music practice and we're all eating at home on 6 days. We break bread house to house here in this community, by the way, if you're new and listening. We break bread house to house. And so, you know, you cook an amount of food that your family's going to need. And then we've had people that have come over that we didn't know about or come to the land to visit, all throughout the years. And my husband says, take, you know, share. He'll take from his own plate. He'll take from his children. And, of course, mine. I eat last anyway. And so we give it to the visitors. And then our children go without that meal. And not that they are not fed. Not that they are not blessed. They're also learning to give in that dynamic. You know, they're also learning to share in that dynamic. But we were sharing that story. And the individual that was hearing it was just like, wow, I have never thought of the scenario, because it's never happened to her. Never thought of the scenario or the circumstance of actually having to take from my own child. Like, never, you know. But when you do these things, these are acts of kindness, making yourself less than the one that you're trying to show hospitality to, you know, truly living out whatsoever you've done unto the least of these, you've done also unto me, you know, teaching lessons even unto your children to give and not be stingy or selfish, that they would demand their own first, you know. Hey, let's jump to an email. Give your thoughts if you have any first, Mother Jennifer.
You know, I just wanted to say it's a very good lesson to be able to teach your children the principles of giving, but you have to have it in you first so that you can pass it down to them, or, you know, they're going to really look at you and see you as hypocritical. And also, I just wanted to really put out there, financially, if you run across anyone who has a financial need, and if they voice that financial need to you, make sure that you go to the elders and let them know the situation so that you can get the green light to meet a financial need. I say that because, you know, if there is a need, the ministry needs to know about it. And we just want to make sure that no one is getting taken advantage of, because they will help you to discern when it is proper to give to someone. Sister Ashley?
Beautiful. And hey, I also want to say, reality check, my children still say, that's mine. I had it first. Mine's bigger, right? Definitely don't want to paint the picture that, you know, the training is absolutely perfect and they're flawless from any selfishness, because they're also born in sin and shaped in iniquity, as we all are, and they're still being trained. So as we share these stories, don't forget the reality, right? It's an ongoing process for all of us, and a beautiful, beautiful testimony for all of our families as we grow. Let's move to your email, Mother Jennifer. Thank you.
Hallelujah. It says, shalom and blessings. With the permission from the head of this community, I am sharing how Pastor has financially blessed us, not knowing what we needed, an enclosed trailer. He blessed us with one that was had at the community in Tennessee. He saved our brothers $12,000. They didn't have to pay anything for the trailer that's in good condition. Who does that? Praise Yah. That's a lot of money for a new community. Knowing the ever-increasing cost of living and everything is so expensive, it was an on-time blessing for us. So thankful to have a pastor that is a servant. May Yah continue to bless Pastor Dow and his family. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, good concrete example of learning how to give. You hear these reality checks and you go, wow. And maybe some of you have given your offerings and that's where it went. You know, you just heard a testimony of where your money went. So praise Yah. Let's go to the next email.
Shalom and blessings. There are so many ways that our family has been blessed by the ministry and saints. One of the first and very memorable ways was when we were still very new to fellowship. We had a jalopy car after a jalopy car that the last one broke down the same day my master had an interview for a job. He made it to the interview, but he did not make it home. The very next day, maybe even that same evening, a brother showed up to our house with a vehicle that was reliable and was able to fit our family. I was in awe. Like, who does this? By the world standards, we barely knew each other, but in spirit, we were family. Another way that our family has been blessed is through the time invested from Pastor Corey's family. My master's work schedule was busy and is busy, and although we miss his presence from time to time, we are not neglected, and there is no void because of Israel and Pastor Dow's vision. The obedience from Pastor Corey's family and going forth to live communally opened up for our family to know true love. They have loved my master's family and poured into us so much that when I think of giving, for me, that tops it all. To be surrounded by people that love Yah and his people and love my master's family in correction, accountability, in spirit, and in truth is a heart's desire I didn't know I had until Yah showed me his way. Sister Ashley?
I want to enjoy your feedback after that one, Mother Jennifer. That was really well said.
Yes, ma'am. You know, I think people forget about the time and the effort that leadership takes to actually pour into the people. You know, it's not always about financial giving. It's not always about money. But the time is very, very valuable, because when you think about, you know, the leaders, you think about our shepherd, you know, Pastor Corey was mentioned, think about Pastor Dow. They have families to take care of, but to really put the families aside for a moment to take care of someone else's needs is really selfless, and it talks, it speaks to the selflessness of the families as well. So just great examples. Sister Ashley?
Yes, definitely don't forget the many that they pour into when you are dealing with any rejections or your own struggles of being overlooked, you know, of not being blessed, of no one paying attention to you. There's definitely a many in who they have to deal with. And I like what she said. You know, she said she's definitely missing his presence, but not having a need for anything. There was a time where, you know, Pastor's presence was always here, and there was also the time, you've heard me say, that he warned us that he wouldn't be. And we're living that, you know. I don't think anyone here would say that they don't miss his presence, because we absolutely do. I absolutely do. It makes a huge difference. For some of you, you know, you have the head of your assembly or your community leader right there with you, learning, giving you his mind and pouring into you. It's precious, because if the time comes that you no longer see him, that's when the test is there. Right, because that's when you have to function in his mind, meaning the mind of Christ, but the way that the community is run, with or without him, in the physical. And it's challenged greatly by those who don't know his mind, you know. It's a different season. Hallelujah. Next email.
Next email says, Pastor has contributed financially to the building up of the community here. Pastor and the brethren at Straightway Tennessee also contributed to the building up of Straightway Kentucky with their manual labor. Pastor has given us thousands of dollar offerings on multiple occasions for the building projects and other community needs. Pastor has lent money to us without usury, which was a blessing, so we wouldn't have to go to the bank / heathens who would have required interest from us. Pastor and the brethren came earlier on to help build our shed when all we had on the land was trailer home. They also came more recently to help with the building up of our dining hall. Multiple different communities and brothers have come down to assist with other work on the land. The brethren from Clarksville have come quite frequently. Brother Dre, Frogman, just recently came to teach and train the brothers on the range. Brother Gideon has done the same. Personally, I can say that many women in the ministry have contributed to my growth by the time they've spent speaking to me and giving me counsel and wisdom. Mother Carol, Mother Jennifer, and my own mother, Mama Nellie, along with those who've contributed to my growth by taking time to help me in deliverance, such as Sister Ashley, Sister Carolina, Mama Vicky, and so many others. There's so much more that Pastor and the saints within the ministry have contributed to bless me personally, our Kentucky East family, community, and Israel as a whole. So this is just covering the surface. Sister Ashley?
I think about how many needs are actually covered by the way that we function. So it seems like we don't have needs, right? They're taken care of oftentimes so swiftly.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what David say, I've been young, now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. But the way that he speaks that is by Yah raising up his people to give. You know, the way that we function one to another. Because if we didn't give to each other and give of ourselves, then we would all still have needs. I just shared my past, you know, a clip of my past. And so many, everyone listening tonight in the chat room tonight, you guys got your own past. There was some sort of need that you had. Even the prayer of David for his enemy said, let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. You know, let them beg. Let them seek out their own bread in desolate places. Like, that's what happens to the enemies of the righteous, you know. And we're warned in the word, it says, my son, lead not a beggar's life, for better it is to die than to beg, in Sirach 40. Better it is to die than to beg, right? So we're not running around begging for anything one to another. We're all giving. And the life of him that depends on another man's table is not to be counted for even a life, Sirach 40. So the life of someone who depends on another man's table is not to be counted for a life. Why? Because begging is shameless. It says that begging is sweet in the mouth of the shameless, but in his belly there still burns a fire because he's never satisfied. That he will beg even in harvest and have nothing because he was a sluggard. Right? So it's not how we function at all. This testimony that we just read, Mother Jennifer, is someone saying, here's all my needs and they've all been met. You know, this brother came and this brother came and this brother came because Yah just really, he when he has his hand on his people, he really touches so many lives and brings about, what it doesn't matter if it's finances, I keep saying that, but so many things are met. And it's really, he's worth the worship for that, you know, he really is. So we not be so, self-consumed and self-absorbed to forget. Do you have another email, Mother Jennifer?
I wanted to add something, Sister Ashley. I'm so glad you brought up begging, the spirit of begging. I have seen families pass through here in the past who have had a begging spirit on them. And what that does is, even though your needs are provided for, your needs are met, you know that if you go to the community head and you tell them what you need, it will be provided. What that does, though, when you put or portray that you don't have your needs met and you're continually begging, you're never content, it's never enough, that makes it seem as if your needs are not met. And it really puts the leadership in a bad light because you're not content, because your wants are not met. You know, you should be content when your needs are met. How many people can actually say, or how many people have ever said, you know, if someone offers you something and you know it's not something that you particularly need, how many people can say, no, thank you, I don't have a need for that, but thank you for offering it? You know, how many people have actually turned things down that they know that they don't need so that someone else can actually have it? So I think that's a really good question to ask, and ask yourself, how content are you with what you've been given? Sister Ashley?
Interesting you bring this up. It's really human nature. It's phenomenal. You don't learn a lot about human nature until you come together. You know, we've had saints die over the years, and folks can't wait to get to their stuff. Literally, can't even wait 24 hours to just get their stuff. Want to fight over things, chairs, and all sorts of items in their home. Can you imagine? And someone just passed away and you're asking for their things, you know, and the world does that. So these are the things we have to die to. Hallelujah. The next email.
Hallelujah. This one has her questions broken down, so I'll just go through them. What do we do for families in need? She says, we have some single dads with children, and we help by watching the children and giving food. Every Shabbat, we send them home with food and leftovers. When there is a sister on purification, we make meals for their families and come clean their homes and do what we can to help them out during their purification. For single sisters, we have the brothers help them with fixing their vehicles, car maintenance, etc. We allow for all single sisters to come eat supper with us daily. We also help with transportation. If there is a saint who cannot drive, or if they don't have transportation, we do what we can to accommodate them. We will send someone to pick them up or even let them use our cars. If there is a family financially struggling, we will help them in their situation. If a situation occurs with a saint and we are willing to help, we will do our best to help them out. Have you ever been helped by brethren? Yes, many times, and still being helped. There's no way I could do any of this without my sisters. I get help daily from the sisters that live with me. Every day when I'm homeschooling the children, I have sisters helping me to tend to the home and making lunches for my master's children. This allows me to have the time for them and teach them and not be rushed with my time and me doing everything by myself. I now have the understanding of what it means to receive help. The beauty of having sisters living communally with me is a blessing. We have the opportunity to serve and receive help daily. And then she says, we had brothers come and help us when we were moving. We also have brothers come every first day to help on the land. We have brothers praying for us. There are so many ways that we are being helped by brethren. As much as we are being helped, we strive to serve more and more. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Elder Becker sends a verse. Ecclesiasticus 12, 4 through 5 and 7. Give to the godly man and help not a sinner. Do well unto him that is lowly, but give not to the ungodly. Hold back thy bread and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster thee thereby. For else thou shalt receive twice as much evil for all the good thou shalt have done unto him. Give unto the good, help not the sinner. Hallelujah. Thank you for even listening in. What an honor. Marshayla's listening tonight. They're having pineapple mules. Hallelujah. In their cocktails and conversations afterwards, of course. Mark 10 says, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And to charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded or not trust in uncertain riches, 1 Timothy 6 says. There's so much said against the rich man, right? You ever been in need and you even called out? I needed, y'all don't know this story. I was in jail. You get one phone call. I literally had what I considered a best friend. This story kept coming to my mind. Like, really, I got to share this? Okay, whatever, I yield. Best friend, best friend. Y'all hear me? Like, so-called, you know how women are, though. We're inseparable. I've known her for maybe a year and a half. Spend every weekend together. Lots of time on the phone. Everywhere we go, everywhere we shop, whatever. You know, athletes. That's what we do. We were together. I got one phone call. She's the only number that I knew. Hey, I need $250 to get out. If you give me $250 to get out, I will literally cut you a check instantly. Like, instantly, as soon as I get out, I just can't get myself out. I got nobody else to call. I made my desperation known. Nobody ever came. I never saw her again. She lived in another county over. Never answered another phone call when I did get out, which, mind you, you waste your phone call, you're going to sit in there for a while. Yeah. That was a horrible experience, life-changing experience for me. The word says in Sirach 12 that an enemy cannot be hidden in adversity. That in your adversity, even a friend will depart from you. I've lived that. Maybe some of you have. But we don't do that to each other in the faith. We don't. Man, time and time again, it might be midnight, our brothers are traveling to somebody whose car broke down. The brethren here on the land, they moved me. You know? Not to mention I had so much shit for one woman. It was ridiculous. If I could repeat it, I'd do it over. I'd get rid of some stuff. But at the time, I'm like, I might need all this. But an enemy speaks sweet with his lips, but in his heart he imagines how to throw you in a pit, Sirach 12. He'll weep with his eyes, but if he finds opportunity, he will not be satisfied with your blood. And if adversity comes upon you, thou shalt find him there first. And though he pretend to help you, yet shall he undermine you. He will shake his head, clap his hands, and whisper much, and change his countenance. You ever been in need? No one helped? Been desperate in poverty and abuse? Huh, Chef?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, I'm sure the wows, the hallelujahs, and the yeses are filling up in the chat room. Because truly, truly, we don't leave each other like that. Remember Elder Becker's verse, though. Give to a godly man, don't give to a sinner. Right? We might shake our heads at that one. But Mother Jennifer, you got a clip. You got a clip to play for us. Please hit it. Introduce the clip. Tell them what it is.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, we are going to listen to a clip from our elder, Elder Rufus, and he is really talking about the giving nature, the giving spirit that our shepherd, Pastor Dow, has. So I need a sound check. Once I hit the button, I need a sound check. Please let me know if you can hear this well or not, how it's coming in. It's a clip that's being transferred from a cell phone from Marco Polo. Here we go.
All right. You know, you get somebody like a Pastor Dow, and you hear all the time that, you know, you can't beat Yah given. You can't beat Yah given, and it's just a fact. You can't. But I tell you, I watch Pastor Dow, and he tries all the time. He really does. And, you know, it's really hard to speak on the type of heart and the type of giver that Pastor Dow is, because he understands the concept of having all things common. The things I've seen Pastor Dow do throughout these decades I've been around him is just absolutely incredible. And it's trickled down to myself and all the other leaders. I mean, I've seen him spend the last of the community money to make sure that another community has what they need when it comes to their land, if it comes to food, if it comes to vehicles, if it comes to building materials, if it comes to just having cash on hand to buy stuff that the communities may need. With us being the first community that came from Straightway, we really were the first partakers of his generosity like that. Now, I'm sure they gave big time before the other ministries and things like that, but I saw Straightway empty the bank to make sure that Straightway Georgia was going to be a successful, thriving community, and that everything we needed, we had in the beginning. And, you know, if you've never done a community before, you have a hard time understanding what it takes to start a community when you just got a piece of land that has nothing on it. It's a lot that goes into that, a lot, and it's extremely expensive. And even if you're just providing, like, the basics for people, it costs a boatload of money. And the thing is, you know, Pastor gives money like it's nothing, because it is. It's all one pot in his eyes. I can tell, you know, when money comes in to the ministry, his view is wherever the greater need is, that's where this money is going to go. And he has no problem dispensing it out. Never that hoard mentality that, you know, well, this is just for Straightway and let them figure it out. No, he gives just as much. It's not a community that is connected to Straightway that he hasn't poured into big time financially. And then with his time, with his energy, with his efforts, with his knowledge, with his wisdom, with his labors. I mean, Pastor Dow will show up and stay a week and live in a tent and take showers outside, just so that you can have the building you need to house the saints. I've watched him do it at every community that got started, and even some communities that are not even a part of Straightway. I mean, I watched him go to Arkansas and South Carolina and Wisconsin and Indiana, of course, in Georgia. I've seen him go everywhere. He'll show up when you're trying to find land. He'll show up and get boots on the ground and scout the land and tell you what the good stuff is, what the bad stuff is, what you should consider, what you shouldn't. So it's not just always about the money when it comes to Pastor Dow giving. It's mainly about him just giving of himself. He has so much wisdom and so much understanding in this thing that the giving of his time is way more important than anything else that he could ever give. But to watch him and to understand that his bowels of compassion are continually open to whoever is in need when it comes to Israel. It's an amazing thing to watch. And I'll be honest, I had an extremely giving spirit before I met Pastor Dow. I lived a lifestyle of just giving all the time. But I never understood it from the great level of love until I met Pastor Dow. And his time to me, again, is way, way more important than anything financially or physically, because, like, I watched Pastor give away houses and homes and, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of building material, vehicles, I mean, you name it, equipment, you know what I mean, equipment to work on your land, heavy equipment, large equipment, riding, I mean, it's, you name it. It's just, there's nothing that he will not give to the saints if they have need, and he can provide it. It's just that simple. And it's like not even a thought in his mind. It's just who he is as an individual. And it doesn't matter how busy he gets, he's going to find the time to come. I mean, just recently, I mean, he was just here. Came all the way down here to Georgia. He visited the Saints in South Carolina, spent time with them, gave them instruction, went all the way over to Alabama, spent time with the Saints there in Alabama, gave them wisdom, understanding. I mean, I've seen this from the day that I met Pastor Dow. He would come. We didn't have really anybody. We'd have meetings in Georgia. And it would be 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 people at the meeting. And guess what? He would drive a full 3-4 hours just to sit there and minister to those people and answer those 10 people's questions. And the same way he ministered and to them 10 people, I see him do it to 1,000 people or 5,000 people now. It doesn't matter. The amount of people is irrelevant. He's just a giver. He's a giver of himself, first and foremost. So that's how I feel about Pastor Dow's giving it. I've never met a more generous person when it comes to all around giving than him. And I just think that's his level of love for Israel. And it just comes out in the form of giving. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, Sister Ashley, every single word that was spoken by Elder Rufus is so true. I remember a time when lumber prices were going up. And, you know, we have a decking business here in Georgia. And I remember Pastor calling Elder early one morning. And, you know, he was talking about the prices of lumber. And I remember Pastor telling Elder, he said, you know, the Most High placed it on my heart 3 months ago to stock up on some building material. And he told Elder, he said, bring your trailer to Straightway and load it up because I have some building material here that will help you in your decking business so you don't have to pay the higher prices. And it's like things like this, Sister Ashley, are the things that we witness from our shepherd. But for him, it's normal. But when you're witnessing it and you're living it and you see it manifest, it's extraordinary. But to Pastor, it's just a normal thing because he's just, you know, he's a man that just exudes love. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I think it's definitely, you know, us talking about him shows us who and how we could be, you know. We could give more. We could give all. We really can. You know, every man and woman on this community has given to my husband's house. And before I said that statement, I was scanning through each person, like, you know, just looking at each house real quick in my mind and going, yes, 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 just to make sure, like, my statement is true. Yes, okay, every man and woman on this community has given to my husband's house. You know, that's Yah's spirit. I think Pastor's definitely trusted with a lot, and I think that Yah will demand his spirit to give, share, build, and help Yah's people, period, because he's the one that has the calling. even... I remember when we had no money. When I moved here, we had no money. When I moved here, we had no air conditioners. And I think it was the second year that I lived here, we got them. But other people lived 8 and 9 years without them. I remember when I first got, I don't know, $20 or whatever, because we were all provided for in a different way. We were living off of the trust of Yah and the faith in Yah. And wouldn't it be a beautiful show to have all the old-timers in a big circle just talking about the beginning? Yes, everybody says yes. I would do it, Father. I would host it. I would like, pry into their hearts and pull out information. Yeah, I got my first $20, and I was like, wow, I didn't know what to get. I didn't know what to do. But my thought was it was going to be for me, though, right? And then I hear stories like Diana told me her story. She was given $100, like one of the first, like, hundreds or whatever she had ever been given, like a $100 bill. And she ends up buying the large mixing bowls for the kitchen that y'all still use today. I think, you know, one of them got busted up by a young daughter that was new at cooking, stuck a knife through it or whatever. So we've had to replace that. You know, saints living together is humorous indeed, okay, when it comes to the stories. Like, what happened to that? Like, how did the lawnmower hit that, you know? But, yeah. Actually, you know, pastors giving money to individuals who have left the community, who didn't want to be a part, you know, giving a card to everyone who's left. So And you give them a car to drive, you give them money, and both leave with, you know, different intentions and different motives, and maybe that's not good enough for him, but it's truly from his heart that he would not leave someone without, you know. And there's people that even give their food stamps to the community, meaning like their food stamp money for food storage or for the community, pouring it into another person's home, you know. And that's an interesting dynamic. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, it is, Sister Ashley. You know, there's what I've witnessed in my experience is there's two types of people when it comes to things like food stamps. There was a family that was here before, and, you know, they would they had food stamps, and so they were like, hey, you know, whatever y'all need, just here's the card, take it and buy it. So we would go and get food storage with that money. But the mentality that this particular family had was very different. It was almost like they were they had a poverty mentality. Like they were never satisfied. Nothing was ever enough. They were entitled. It was like an entitlement. If anybody ever gave anything, it had to go to them. And so I don't know if that came along with depending on the government for so long, but there was just this vast entitlement mentality that was very difficult to break through. And that family is no longer here. And I've had women since then who have come to the community, and they have contributed food storage through EBT, and they don't care about what you do with it. Like, they don't care. They don't even want to know. They just want to give all. And I would even go to them and say, hey, do you have anything personal that you need? Do you have any personal food items that you want me to buy while I'm out? No, ma'am, I don't have any needs at all. So there's two different dynamics, two different extremes, you know, that I have seen when it comes to that mentality with food stamps. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Let's hit our first music break. I'll be right back. We'll talk about trust in Yah. We'll wrap up some of our giving thoughts. I hope this motivates you all to give all, even to your friend and neighbor. Of course, a godly friend and neighbor, a saint, someone in Israel. We can always give more and give all. Hallelujah. Be right back.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. Oh,
Hallelujah. He is enough. Mother Jennifer, any thoughts on the break?
Sorry, I had you muted. No, ma'am, Sister Ashley. I think we pretty much covered everything up to this point.
All right. Let me read for y'all 1 Timothy 6:6 all the way through 6:12. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be content. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. You, O man of Yah, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, and fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Do you have any more emails, Mother Jennifer, or was that it?
I do, Sister Ashley. I have two more.
Hallelujah. Hit it. Let's read the next one.
Okay, yes, ma'am. This sister says, Yah's people in the ministry of Straightway exhibit a level of love and giving like nothing I've ever experienced. For example, if someone is sick or has given birth, we as sisters team up and schedule days and times to help the sister's family in need. There is no limit to the giving during the time of need. It could be prayer, money, time, help cleaning, whatever is needed, all done with love and joy, with no hesitation. We sisters definitely had to learn to humble ourselves, trust, and learn to receive what Yah was giving, because we were simply not raised and exposed to that level of love and giving without someone looking for something in return. The power of Yah's love through giving has definitely torn down walls of pride in me and my sisters. And now, a love like no other is flowing through each and every one of us. Hallelujah. I'm glad this sister mentioned receiving, Sister Ashley. It's very true. We have not been raised to receive the level of love that, you know, you see in this ministry. We're taught to, you know, handle it on your own, do it on your own, and pretty much if you can't or if you don't, then you're a failure. So it's good to hear about this, you know, learning how to receive, because when you have this level of love, especially between women, it can be very overwhelming. Sister Ashley?
Yes, it's interesting the dynamics really that are presented, because it is entitlement for some that they have to overcome, and then for others they have to learn to receive. I most definitely had to learn to receive, and, you know, never had the expectation of receiving, if that makes sense. So for me, it was, oh, no, I got it, I'll do it, you know, and really letting someone in through all of that and noticing the pride, you know, that says no, that rejects the help. Now it's more like, I'll let you know, you know, I'll let you know if I need you. Thank you so much. And really also another way that I deny myself in those areas is really pouring what I know into other people, you know, and letting other people really benefit, like, from their strengths. You know, when you see somebody who has a capability and you try to feed it, you know, to the best of your ability with the experience that I've been given. So definitely learning to receive is a journey. If you're on community, you probably completely understand, at least at all of our many different levels, learning to receive, yes. Thankful to have each other and one another to teach us these life lessons. Hey, I'm going to read some verses. About trust in Yah, okay? So we definitely, in these times ahead, we want to trust in the Most High Yah. And our trust can always increase, right? It can always increase. Sometimes He blesses us, most of the time He blesses us from one another, from the righteous, from the brethren, from the body. Hallelujah. David said that God is my rock. In Him will I trust. He is a buckler to all of them that trust in Him. Trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. Yah is a refuge for us. He said, you are my hope. You are my trust from my youth. It's good for me to draw near to you. I put my trust in the Most High that I may declare all your works. I will say to the Most High, he's my refuge, my fortress, my Yah, in him will I trust. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Behold, Yah is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. Who is among you that fears the Most High, that obeys the voice of his servant, that even walks in darkness and has no light, but let him trust in the name of Yah and stay upon his Yah. Yah is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my song, in whom I will trust. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Most High Yah. O my Yah, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. How excellent is thy loving kindness. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. I trust in your mercy forever and ever. In you I put my trust, and I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I basically just printed out some verses with trust and ran them off to y'all. Let me play an awesome clip. An awesome clip proving the humility of the man in front of us and even the meekness. You have to, this is me saying it, okay, it's not a command, but you have to be able to say, I need you, Yah. Believe me, a proud heart can't say that. Like, you can say it with your lips, but you know inside your heart, you're like, right? But he can humble all flesh. So just stay in that desperation. I enjoyed Lion's Den 5-6-2022. You're about to hear a clip from my brother Daniel. Let's go. All right.
I know everybody out there, man, man, maybe all the afflictions are the right. Are you righteous? That's what you got to ask yourself. Because the afflictions you're going through, majority of the time, they self-inflicted. Because you want to disobey and not do what Yah told you to
Come
do.
Come on, bro. Straight up.
Straight like that. But when you serving Yah, you keeping his commandments, you love the king, you doing everything you know, and then he constantly revealing the wickedness in you when you ask him. How many of you dare to ask him?
Come on,
when you dare to ask him, and then he show you, and then you cry out to him, you repent, and you try to turn from your wicked ways and walk in the newness of life in that area. And then when you find yourself doing the upright, doing things that are right, all of a sudden, here come affliction. But you see, this is the king of Israel. Speaking when he said, many are the affliction of the righteous. You see what I'm saying? I read this Psalm, what was it? Psalm 7. Then we talked about the other day. David said, for I am poor. David made that statement. Let me go to it. What was that? Psalm 70. I've been in these Psalms, bro. I've been in them, bro. This is Psalm 70, verse 5. He said, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O Yahweh. Thou art my help, my deliverer, O Yahweh. Make no tarrying. This is the king of Israel say he poor, which you see, they don't understand, because who is the poor? It's them that have the good news, the gospel preached unto them. So every now and then you need to hear. Hey, Shabbat Shalom to all the righteous of Israel. Bless you, my shepherd. I saw Teacher Shane, Brother McNabb, bless you. Brother Marco, bless you, my brother. Brother Vincent, bless all of y'all. I'm excited. You know, and Satan tried to stir me right before get on. He tried to stir me. Nah, he ain't going to get me, though. We're going to stay on course. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stay on course. Because I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you. David said, for I am poor. That's what he said. I'm sitting there like, hold on. Why? Because he needed to hear the good news at that point, too.
Come on, bro.
He needed to be lifted up. He needed to be ministered to. He needed to be strengthened. Oh, okay. They must have forgot. When the Holy Spirit led Yahshua into the wilderness after he done rebuked Satan over and over and over. What did they say? Yahweh sent his angels, and they did what? They ministered unto him. Didn't they say it? Okay.
Come on.
So keep walking around here like you tough as hell and you don't need nothing. I bet I do. I bet I need to hear the good news preached. I bet I need to hear that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I bet I need to hear about the King of Glory. I bet when I go through a week and his holy Shabbat come around, then I can turn around and I can say, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise. God.
That your Shabbat came. And guess what? I can sit down with the brethren. And we can rest. And we can have a holy convocation under Yahweh. And I can hear the man of Yahweh preach. And I can sit back and I can chew on it.
Come on,
and say, that's what I need to hear. This is what strengthened me. This is what's going to take me through another week. It's going to encourage me every single day. This is what I needed. That's why they keep on around with you. You tough. You got it. Now, look here. I need Yah.
Praise Yah. Come on.
I need Yah.
Come on.
All of the more. Hallelujah. I'm hyped.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Again.
Oh, Jesus. Glory. I bet when I go through a week and his holy Shabbat come around, then I can turn around and I can say, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
That your Shabbat came. And guess what? I can sit down with the brethren. And we can rest. And we can have a holy convocation under Yahweh. And I can hear the man of Yahweh preach. Mm-hmm. And I can sit back and I can chew on it.
Come on,
and say, that's what I need to hear. This is what strengthened me. This is what's going to take me through another week. It's going to encourage me every single day. This is what I needed. That's why they keep on around with you. You tough. You got it. Now, look here. I need Yah.
Praise Yah.
I need Yah.
Hallelujah. Can I get an I need Yah from the audience?
I need Yah.
Yes. In every way, I'm telling y'all, I need Yah. So humble yourselves to your needs, to the giving, to the receiving, to the dynamic of Yah's spirit amongst us. You know, our needs are met, but you gotta express them to Yah. You gotta open up. You gotta say you got a need, you know? And every need doesn't require someone else donating to you or giving to you. Just crying and pouring out your heart unto the Most High Yah. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, it's I thought it was really good that he brought up many are the afflictions of the righteous, but there are some people who are dealing with afflictions that are self-inflicted. They're brought on by themselves. Excuse me. And we have to realize that, you know, if you're in a haughty position, in a proud position, and you don't think that you need Yah, then he's not going to supersede your will. You know, he's not going to move past your will if you think that you've got it all together. So it's always very good to be able to humble yourself before him and always recognize that we need him. We always need him no matter what. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Let's hear Psalms 5 and 6.
Psalm 5. Listen to my words. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly.
Hallelujah. Hey, Mother Jennifer, that's it. We got a show right there. I got nothing else to add. What I did was just basically wanted to thank everybody, and I haven't yet, thank everyone who's ever given to me, communities have given to me, how communities have given to this community. Men and women are constantly given amongst the body. I just want to thank y'all so much. Marshayla comes to mind. Marshayla does a lot of good works behind the scenes and never asks to be noticed or, you know, even her name called. But thank you. A lot of Israelites are in need, possibly even in your community, and maybe there's a way that you can independently and individually bless them, whether with your prayers or, you know, sometimes the extra plates and the extra food that's made at our house. I have those that I designate that food for and share with, you know, especially young children. Knowing who to give to, of course, is very important, but definitely focus on giving your all. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. I have one last email. Do you want me to go ahead and read that?
Absolutely. Let's go.
She says, we, a family of six, used to live in a city with a population of 93,000 people, but now we live with the saints, 19 in a house, in a town where the population is only 600 people. It all started when we started fellowshipping at my master's home for Shabbat. We had only 12 saints come into fellowship at that time. A year later, we now have 60 saints every Shabbat. Hallelujah. It has always been our desire to go communal and live out the word and follow Pastor Dow's example. When we saw other straightway communities and homesteads and visited them, we knew that's what we wanted and needed. We knew we had to do what we had to do to get there. We prayed and fasted and petitioned the Most High to make a way. Months later, we had some faithful saints that made it known they wanted the same thing. That's when it all started. We gave it all up. We had saints sell their homes, leave their jobs, children, and even careers. When this all happened, we truly learned what giving all truly meant, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. When going communal, we learn that there is a sacrifice that is needed to serve the saints. My master is the one who is leading this communal home, and when he became the head, much was required, not just from him, but from his whole family. His children had to learn what it means to sacrifice their time with their dad to allow him to serve the saints. We, a family of six, lived in one room so others could have a room to stay in. There are times when we gave up food, clothing, and whatever was needed to accommodate the saints. We knew that this was needed to get where the Most High had for us to go. Before we became communal, my master talked to us, his household, and told us to be ready to give it all up. We were ready to give up anything that was needed from us to serve his people and the Most High. We didn't know what was coming, but we knew we trusted in the Most High and where he was leading us. We knew this is what we needed to prepare us for what the Most High Yah has for us. We went from two incomes to now one income to provide for a family of six to now provide for saints for Shabbat. We kept trusting in Yah because we knew he would keep providing as long as we still had faith in him. I say this all to say that you must have your mind made up. There should be no doubt in living with and around the saints. And if there is, then that is a problem. We truly need this. You can't get anywhere without the saints. We are tribal people. You cannot do this alone. There is no other way than living communally. When we prayed and petitioned the Most High, we believed and had faith that it would come forth. Now we get to witness his promises. We are now living set apart on some land. Hallelujah. We are encouraged by seeing Pastor Dow living it. We were encouraged and edified by hearing all the testimonies of all the saints at the Hub and other communities. When you see others living it and being the example, it should only encourage you to be around them and also live it. It shows the love they have for the Most High. And why wouldn't you want to be around that? to be around the saints who love the Most High and who are obedient unto Him. I pray that you are encouraged by this testimony. I thank the Most High for my Yah-fearing husband and him listening and obeying the Most High and loving his family and being an example to us. I also thank Pastor Dow for his love for the saints and all his labor and being set apart, being the set apart pastor and teacher of the truth. Blessings. Sister Ashley?
Revelation 3:10 and 3:11, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. For behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. Hallelujah. Continue, please, to walk out the commands that the Spirit of Yah has put upon your spirit, to give, to give, to give, to give all. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Hallelujah. It took me a long time, and I hope it don't take you the length that it took me, right? You want to be able to give without any hesitation, without any holding back, literally. I had examples of those who gave to me to help me along the way. And you want to clear your thoughts from even giving. When you reach in your pocket to give, when you give something off of your dinner table, you want it to come easy, right, so that you can have godly Christ-like nature. I'm surrounded by people who give, but I also know the selfish mentality, and I also know how to discern the human nature and the human spirit of those who are still striving. Hallelujah. Got a long way to go. Let's keep giving. Bless y'all. We can give more. We can give all. I love y'all. I'm just in the show.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, that was a beautiful letter that was read, and I just want to say, you know, in giving all, you give your will. You give your fears, you know, everything that would hinder you and separate you from Yah, your pet peeves, whatever it is, you give those things up so that you can live in harmony with the people of Yah. Blessings and shalom.